Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast, powered by Self-Recoding, world-class consulting and coaching services that you can access at selfrecoding.com. Self-Recoding is a unique blend of neuro-healing modalities that will empower you to reach your full potential. Join thousands of others who have experienced rapid results in their journey of personal growth. Now enjoy our show where we bring you tools for a powerful mind with your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello, everybody, and welcome back to Bold and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I'm your host, Kathy Tate from Down Under. With me, as always, your host from America, Daisy Papp. Hi, Daisy.
Hello, my dear friend. I'm glad to see you, and I'm very excited to co-create just another episode of Bold and Blonde Mindset Evolution. I find it fabulous that we do that as a weekly practice, and we do it since over 3 years. Can you imagine?
It has gone so quick. It's just mind-blowing, and the topics just keep coming. Like, I've got another juicy one up my sleeve today.
Bring it on.
We are talking about relationships unofficially this season. And so today, I want to talk about the power play.
Okay, let's talk about the power play. I'd like to start with a very interesting relation when it comes to that word, power play. The state where I live in, the state of Florida here in North America, United States, they have a lottery. And when you want to play the extra, it's called the power play, or they have a form of lottery that is titled power play. And I did not meet anyone who won that game. And I wonder who wins power play in relationships long term.
Yes. Good question. I'm going to say neither party.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. It is interesting to observe how many people do it. And when we dig deeper, because the power play itself is just a symptom, when we dig deeper, what's actually underneath, I think that is when it's getting really interesting and exciting, and we can learn a lot.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about where the power play comes from. It seems to me that one of the reasons it could be there in a relationship is the amount of in love on each side. Sometimes one party in a relationship is more in love than the other party, and that can cause an uneven power level within the dynamic of the relationship.
Interesting point. I have not thought about that. I think it is very much about insecurities. It is very much about control. It is very much about the need to be right. It is very much about me ruling over you, me being better than you, I'm smarter than you. And now let's have a look whether it stems from or where it's possibly stemming from. I wonder how the maintenance of each individual's, each party's in the relationship, when they have a resentment bucket, I wonder how their maintenance is going on. Because when there is much in the resentment bucket and it is not maintained or emptied at times, how often is the trash picked up in your area?
Every week.
Okay, same here. In some areas, it's picked up daily. At other areas, it's picked up twice a week or biweekly, meaning twice a month. But it is taken away. Otherwise, we would suffocate in trash. Now, in relationships, oftentimes that is not happening. And that's, I think, where the power play is actually powered from, where it feeds off of.
With that analogy of the trash, you're saying that if you don't regularly look at the stuff that comes up, it can fill up that resentment bucket, and that has then consequences on the relations between the partners.
Yeah, I think it is a good point. In addition to that, I also think that it is not what comes up, but what is it that we're solving? Because unresolved issues always create more issues. When I'm trying to be in denial that there are no issues, it will create more issues. when I'm projecting on others that they are the sole cause of all the issues, then I'm creating more issues. When I'm denying taking ownership of the issues that maybe I'm partially or participating in being part of the problem instead of part of the solution, I'm creating more issues. So when we now circle back to what I heard you say first, that it has to do with who is more in love, I'm not so sure if that really plays a big role in that.
Well, I think it does, because I think that if you've got an uneven dynamic, it can cause some of these things that you're speaking about. So if there's an uneven dynamic around the amount of in love, that can cause insecurity.
Okay, but then that is a root cause and not the symptom.
I think insecurity might be the symptom, actually. I've been in a relationship where I think that I was more in love than my partner was, and it definitely caused me insecurity. And I don't think it was the other way around. I may have had insecurities, but I think the root cause was that he wasn't the right person for me, in that I thought I was in love more than I actually was in love. And it turned out he wasn't in love like I thought he was. At the root of the relationship, that was the major problem. Because if you don't have that basis, then everything else becomes harder. Everything else is rockier. Everything else falls apart, because is not the basis of being in a loving relationship the love itself?
Well, I'd like to turn it around a little bit and put the flashlight a little bit in a different direction. The power play. What are situations where you would call them power play? Can you give me a few examples, please?
Okay, an example would be one partner always dictating the things that the couple would do, perhaps mm-hmm. always controlling the conversation and not really listening to the partner's opinions. I think also perhaps deciding that the issues that were in the relationship were the partner's fault without having any ownership over their part in it.
Mm. When I think back what I heard you say, and correct me if I don't remember correctly or cannot recollect, you said that it is uneven in a relationship that one is more in love than the other, or one does more than the other. So that is their dynamic. Now, I think it is very healthy that it's not even and equal, because it's not stagnant. We have better days, we have worse days. We have days where we have a headache and we are impatient. Then we have other days where even an elephant can step on me and I'm still patient. There is no such thing like stagnancy, or like it is even or equal, or we reach that particular level and then we stay there. It remains there. I don't believe that is happening, because that would also mean that the relationship is rather dead, or it is just fixated to a specific pin or pinned to a specific it being a certain way, but there's no livelihood in it. So I don't think that the ups and downs are actually critical. I think they're healthy. How we handle them and how we respond to them, those are oftentimes unhealthy ways.
That's an interesting point of view. I was thinking of it a little bit differently. And I guess in my view, there's an underlying love, which is there before you look at the ups and downs of the relationship, which of course happen on a daily basis. But to me, if it's a true love, it would survive all those things. And I guess my reference for that is my family, where I'm talking about the sort of love that underlies everything, isn't going to come and go with the ups and downs. I'm talking about a relationship that's based on a deeper level. And so I can see what you're saying and don't disagree, but that's not quite where I was coming from when I said there was a disparity in the in love on each side. And I'm not sure if I've cleared that up or not.
Well, Okay, let's define what love is. What love are you referring to?
The type where you are accepted, you're embraced, you can be yourself. There's this understanding of each other and this want to share your life together and, I guess, a nurturing of each other that goes along with that. In an ideal world, that would be the basis for what I think would be a loving relationship, and certainly not limited to those things, but they come to mind first of all.
Okay. I'd like to circle around a little bit and point out and pin the formula for finding true love, because I think there's a huge mystery and misunderstanding around the concept of love that brings much heartbreak and heartache to many people around the globe. And I think it is a good idea to refer to it for a moment, because I say love is not only a feeling or a phrase, love is behavior. Now, I'm referring to specific behaviors and I'm referring to constant behavior. So there must be a standard. Now, when that is the case, then it is possible that I'm deciding where we go on vacation most of the time because I'm the better planner. And it is okay that you are planning the grocery shopping list and where we go buying groceries because you are much more talented in that and you have better experience and you have a better eye for the items on sale or what you want to cook or what will be on the table for the next week or two. So I don't consider that power play. I think the power play starts happening when we start to disrespect other people's wants because I have a resentment towards you, or I have regrets, or I feel ignored, or I feel taken advantage of, or I feel hurt in one or the other way. Now, when I feel hurt, then irrational thinking and irrational behavior kicks in. And that is, I think, is the root cause of the power play. Look, I don't have all the answers. I'm happy to share the answers that I think are accurate to my life and the lives of my clients and the attendees of workshops.
No, I think that is a really good point. And I'm not sure why it didn't come up in my mind, but the disrespecting of the other person's wants and needs, I think, is super, super important and is a deal breaker for me. And I'm sure for many others as well. Because if you don't feel respected in your relationship, then it's going to affect everything, isn't it?
I go even a level deeper. When there is no trust, there's nothing. And I understand that many people feel that they are in love and that they are loving someone or they love someone. But now, when I cannot respect you, then how can I love you? When I cannot admire you at times, then how can I love you? When I'm not compassionate or empathetic with you, how can I love you? When I jeopardize your dignity, how do I love you? When I say one thing and do another or don't follow through, how can I love you? Now, when there's no trust, let's dig really deep. How can I love you when I can't trust you? I think there's a misconception or a misunderstanding. And I understand it's a social thing and it is culturally visible in many areas of life and in many geographics. When I trust you that you will do me no harm and you trust me that I will do you no harm purposefully, is it possible that we go out dancing and I step on your foot? Absolutely, yes. Is it possible I drop your favorite cup? Yes, it's possible, but I don't do it on purpose. I'm not going to do anything on purpose to harm you or hurt you or harm and hurt the relationship. I think this is a very important point. Now, when I know that I can trust you to that degree and we have an agreement what type of relationship we are living, is it monogamous? Is it exclusive? Is it long-term? Or is it just like we discussed in the other episode, is it as long as someone would wear an underwear or a pair of socks or taking on and off their shoes? Then we're talking about different types of relationships. So I think it is important that we clarify which type of relationship do we speak about or discuss here, because relationships actually are much more than an intimate relationship. My relationship with my computer, my relationship with my microphone, my relationship with social media, my relationship with my neighbors, my relationship with my community, my relationship with an employer or with someone who hires me, my relationship with myself. So the power play is much broader and in many more places and spaces than in solely intimate relationships. But I think it is important to notice, so I think, that when you need to be right, or when you need the short-term satisfaction that you were right, or we do what you wanted to do, and ignoring that I did not want to do that, then we have a very different problem. It's not about the power play. As I say, the power play is solely a symptom. When I respect you and you trust me, and let's say you're in the mood to go out dancing and I'm in the mood to cuddle in my bed all by myself with my sheets, then we will find a way that your need is going to be satisfied and my need is going to be satisfied. And maybe I go dancing out with you another day or another week or another month. And maybe you cuddle up with me another day, another week, another month. And you still go out dancing. Why? Because we are not Siamese twins. And maybe I go and cuddle up in my bed and get the rest I need. Why is it that it's so important that we must do what I say? I say we must go grocery shopping right here, right now. Why? Justify it to me. Because tomorrow the grocery store will be closed or empty, or we're running really out of food. What is the urgency right here, right now? Is it really maybe just an idea or an illusion that it's so urgent for you? And you want to get my attention, or you want to get my service, yeah, that I go with you, or that I pay for it, or that I'm discovering the aisles, holding hands. What is the real need underneath? I'm curious about that. And many moons ago, we recorded an episode about the 9 universal human needs. Now, when there's power play in play, then I would have a look which of the human needs are not met. That's where you can find the solution. So I think.
That's very interesting. So which human needs are not being met are going to be the root of the power play?
I think so. I think that it can be discovered there because the human behavior stems from meeting needs, right? What we do, what you do, we're meeting needs. I meet my needs to drink my tea. I meet my needs to check my emails. I meet my needs to pay my invoice because I don't want to get a late fee, for example. So which of my needs are unmet that I'm working on getting met with you, through you, with your help, with your participation, or all by myself, or with the participation of someone else? And I think when we become more aware and more sensitive to our own human needs, our own needs that we're trying to get met, yeah, then we are living in a much, much more peaceful society immediately. When we look at, okay, the power play, what is so important about it? Why is it so important? We want to know, right? Because otherwise I will not find the reason behind it. When I don't know why I have water under my sink, how will I be able to fix it? How will I be able to find a solution for it? So when humans are in relationships, I think it is a good idea for everyone to have a look at their 9 universal needs. They're universal because they apply to humans around the globe. Now, we can also see it between parents and grandparents and children and grandchildren, yeah, in the generations. Because I said so. Okay. Maybe your need for authority is not met, or autonomy is not met. I think it's a good idea to look there. That's what I would do.
I think that's great advice, and we'll put a link down below to that download that's in the Bald and Blonde website. So go grab that if you want to check out the 9 universal needs and see what's going on for you. This has actually been really interesting conversation. Not really how I thought it would go, but that's how we roll.
What is missing for you?
Oh, no, I'm not saying anything's missing at all, Daisy. It's just that I guess some of our episodes just evolve on their own. And sometimes when I pick a topic, well, most of the time when I pick a topic, I don't really have any expectations around how the conversation's going to go unless I specifically want to bring something up. And I think today's conversation is important because I think that there's power play at work in a lot of relationships, certainly not limited to romantic relationships either. I think that it would be very common to find power play in professional relationships especially.
Yeah.
And so I think it's worth looking at these things because not only could it help you improve your personal relationships, it could help you at work and within your other relationships that we all have with our family, with our colleagues, with our acquaintances. There's so many interactions that we have on a daily basis with people out in the world. And the better placed we are within ourselves, then the better placed we are to respond to whatever's going on around us in the best way possible.
Mm. Yes, I think this is a good point that it applies in many areas of our lives. And there's another thing that comes to my mind, that it is important to also know our wants. And why this is so important, because we are so conditioned to not want. And I give you an example that might be not really fitting into this topic, but it definitely fits into this podcast episode. When people get older or when they have valuable assets, they write a will. It's also called the last will, or it's called the testament. So they are writing what they want to happen after they are passing. And I find it so interesting. So at the end of life, we have a will. And what happened then to all the other wills? Because when there's a last will, that predetermines that there must have been one prior to that. And now let me jump to the beginning of life, because we have absolutely stunning ways as babies to share our wills and wants. I feel bored. Wah! I feel sad. Wah! I feel itchy. I feel I need a new diaper. Wah! I'm hungry. And the baby knows how to vocalize, not verbalize yet. No problem at all. Then we start speaking, verbalizing. And then we say, I want this. I want that. You can't have that. That's what we're taught and conditioned to. And then in addition to that, no, we don't say I want that. We say, can I please? May I please have that? I would like to have that. So our wants are totally chopped down. And I would like to make a point that it's absolutely okay to want and find out what you want and speak up for what you want. And then there's no power play needed anymore. Because then I can say, you want to go dancing? Please go and enjoy yourself. Say hi to Susan and Mike. Yeah. And I say hi for you to my pillow. And big deal, right? So it is okay to want. And when we become more sensible and sensitive to our own needs and wants, and when you start speaking and standing up for your own wants and wishes, and you verbalize them because you felt them first, and then you think about them, and then you speak about them, and then it becomes your standard that it's okay to want, to have a will, not only before you pass. What a concept is that? It just dawned on me like 2 days ago.
It's so true. I think, how many times in your life have you not really been sure of what it is you want? And so you stumble into a relationship that isn't going to give you what you want because you don't even know what it is in the first place. And I think that we're all probably guilty of that at some point in our lives. And so it certainly is a good thing to think about these things on a deeper level and not just stumble into them.
And I think it's not that we're guilty of. I think it is part of life experience, learning experience.
Yeah.
The university called life.
And what a trip it is. Yeah, I think that's a really good way to finish the episode, Daisy. Good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Any final words before we sign off?
I'm on a mission since decades to make life more livable and more loving and lovely for humans. And I do believe I just achieved another milestone with a teenager book where it is all about relationships and where it is about the 5+2. And I do believe that everyone who suffers from power play or is the power player themselves does well when they take a look at that, take a look at the 5+2 It takes you maybe 30 minutes to get through it, and you can ponder for the rest of your life on it and then self-reflect. Am I doing power play, and what's my gain long-term? Because we may feel good about ourselves because now I feel better than you for 2.5 minutes or 2.5 hours or 2 years before you get sick and tired of it and run away or escape or just leave me silently or loudly. Yeah. When we understand that it's so simple and it's so easy to apply how to be the loving human we were born to be, then the beauty of it is that we will start to like ourselves more. Therefore, we will be more likable to be around. And then again, the power play just disappears or can decrease. So it's all linked together. The power play itself as a topic is great. And I really enjoy discussing with you every single episode you throw at me. I really appreciate, and you're very creative too. Now, it all comes down to the same simple rules for life. Maybe I'm simplifying complex thoughts, but to me, that's absolutely how it looks like. So instead of power play, choose love. Love is the answer. It's very simple. Love yourself, love love, and live it, and lead by example. Your life will never be the same.
Thank you, Daisy. And to clarify, Daisy's speaking of her books. The first one, which we referred to earlier in the episode, 5+2, The Formula for Finding True Love, is the book that Daisy wrote for adults. And she has just rewritten and released the teenager version of that book, which is amazing and so easy to read. It will only take you about half an hour, suitable for most ages of children and certainly any adult. And it has the whole contents of the original book written in such an easy and simple way to understand that I think is going to be a super valuable tool for teenagers around the world. So go and please grab that from daisypap.com. I urge you, you will not regret it. I'm sure that as soon as you get your hands on it, you're going to be amazed and want to share it with as many people as you can. So we'll put a link down below in the episode description straight to that book as well. So that's it from us today. Thank you, Daisy, for your sharing of your experiences. It is always so valuable for our audience. And I'm sure that all of our listeners out there feel the same way. Don't forget, you can visit us at baldandblonde.live. Let us know if you'd like to hear a specific topic discussed. That's it from us today. We'll be back again next week with another awesome episode. We are Bold and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time. Thank you for listening in to the Bold and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our show with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place for you, for us, for future generations. When you need consulting or coaching, visit selfrecoding.com. Also, please remember to rate us 5 stars and leave a review and support us at baldandblonde.live. Talk to you soon.